Welcome to the Caltech Theater, a full hour of dramatic entertainment broadcast over a nationwide network of stations throughout Australia. The Caltech Theater is brought to you by Caltex Oil, marketers of over 1,000 outstanding petroleum products, in association with Caltech's dealers and distributors everywhere. Tonight in the Caltech Theatre, you will hear There Was a Crooked Man, the amusing story of a certain polished gentleman who discovered that he could literally make money, but who was soon to discover that there's a world of difference between making money and making crime pay. In the starring role tonight, you will hear James Condon, your producer, E. Mason Wood. The Caltech Theater presents There Was a Crooked Man, Act One.
And I said to her, Mother, I said, after all, Lawrence, everybody else is going abroad this year. Why can't we?
And what did your husband answer you, Gladys?
He wouldn't give me a straight answer. He kept saying, wait and see. Oh, he's so amphibious.
You mean ambiguous, Mother?
Claude, dear, why don't you go somewhere and read a book?
I am somewhere. I'm here, and I am reading a book.
Now, don't pick on Claude just because you're upset, Gladys. You know he's my own pet.
Aren't you Granny's own petty, Claude?
Yes, Granny.
What's that big book you're so deep in, dear? The Boy's Own?
No, it's called Nuclear Physics for Beginners.
Is that the modern child's idea of light reading?
Don't worry, Mother. It's only a phase.
You mean a phase, Gladys? Really, when I think of the money I spent on your education...
Never mind my education, Mother. What am I going to do about our holiday?
Well, if Lawrence keeps shilly-shallying, why don't you and Claude go off somewhere on your own?
Well, it's a question of money.
You've always given me to understand that in spite of all his other drawbacks, Lawrence has always been generous with your allowance.
Oh, yes, he has, but, well, you know how it is. Money just seems to melt away.
Especially if you've got hot hands. Well, I've got a suggestion for you, Gladys. Why don't you and Claude come and stay with me in the cottage I've taken in the country?
Oh, well, yes, that's awfully good of you, Mother. But
that sounds terrific. Is there plenty of room, Granny? Will I be able to conduct experiments?
What kind of experiments, Betty King?
In nuclear fission.
Oh, yes, there's fishing. We're quite near the sea.
Oh, do let's go, Mother. I like being with Granny.
Listen, is Granny's little lone.
But I've got hardly any pocket money.
Don't worry, Pity. Granny's sure to find something in her old bead bag. Well, Gladys, what do you say?
Well, I shall have to speak to Lauren.
He can't come. There isn't room. Besides, my nerves wouldn't stand it.
Oh, wouldn't mind.
What? Oh, hello, darling. You're home early. Have you had a nice day?
I've had a horrible day, but I'm trying to forget it. Home is the hunter, home from the hill.
Home from the public house, more likely.
Your mother has either an infallible instinct, Gladys, or a nose of truly remarkable power. I have, as it happens, had two drinks. Trying to drown my sorrows, but two drinks weren't enough. I couldn't afford any more.
Lawrence, Mother has very sweetly offered us a holiday in the country.
Oh, very kind of you, Amy. The offer, as I gathered from the doorway, does not include me.
No, I was hoping we'd all go abroad, but since you can't or won't make up your mind, Claude and I will have to put up with Mother. We'll have to let Mother put us up. I imagine you'll take Julia away with you later.
If I do, she'll have to pay.
By the way, where is Julia, Gladys?
She's on
Yeah, with some play or other.
I can never understand how you allowed your daughter to take up the stage, Gladys. The people are all so common. But I suppose she gets it from her father.
What?
The so-called artistic temperament. If you spent more time attending to your business, Lawrence, instead of fiddling with those paintings of yours, you might be a lot better off.
Yes, I might indeed.
Well, Gladys, are you coming to the cottage or not?
Well, if Lawrence will help me out. You see, darling, I've rather overspent this month.
I've already given
you
your...
Yes, darling, that's for a rainy day.
Oh, I'm glad, because I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't a storm any minute.
Nonsense, Lawrence. There's not a cloud in the sky.
Not in your sky, perhaps.
Dad, can we go to the country with Granny?
You think you'll like it, Claude? It'll be a bit quiet, you know.
Oh, it'll be smashing. Granny says I can conduct my rocket experiments.
Oh, a nice, peaceful country holiday. Oh, well, on your own heads be it. I'll find the money for you, Gladys.
Oh, thank you, darling. I've had a lot of worry lately.
Have you, Gladys?
Gladys, you never said anything was worrying you.
Perhaps she's hiding something from you, Lawrence.
Really, Mother? Must you try and make mischief?
Me? Make mischief? My worst enemy has never accused me of that. Have you, Lawrence?
Not openly.
Well, it's time I was going.
Granny, haven't you forgotten something?
No, I haven't, Fittikins. Here you are. Now, that should last you nicely through your holiday.
Gosh, a fiver!
Oh, Mother, it's too much.
Never mind. I know I'm old and unwanted and accused of being a mischief maker, but I have my uses. Well, goodbye, Lawrence. Take care of yourself. Indulgence in fermented liquor makes so many men go off pot.
I'll come and see you out, Mother.
As far out as possible, I hope.
Dad?
Oh, yes, Claude.
I was just thinking.
Not about.
This fiver Granny gave me. I was just looking at it. Wouldn't it be easy to copy these things, especially for someone like you who's so clever at it?
What do you mean, clever at it?
Well, most of your paintings and sketches are copies of other paintings and sketches. I've watched you.
I don't know where you get such strange ideas, Claude, copying currency notes. Do you know what happens to people who do that?
Oh, yes. Yes, they get sent to prison, if they're caught. Oh, but there must be hundreds who get away with it.
Give me that fiver. And don't let me hear any more of that kind of talk. It's criminal.
It's my fiver.
I'm going to keep it as a punishment until you leave to go to Granny. Now, leave the room.
But you are desperately short of money, aren't you, Dad?
Get out of here.
All right, I'm going.
Most of my paintings and sketchings are copies. Well, so they are. And if I can copy paintings, I wonder if... Where's a piece of paper?
Oh. Oh, the shame of it. My husband, a bankrupt. Everything we own seized by the income tax. Bailiffs all over the place shifting our furniture out.
Oh, Gladys.
If only you told me, Lawrence. I go away for a few weeks with Mother, and when I return, you're bankrupt. And you don't even give me a hint. Now the bailiffs in this house, our beautiful home being sold over our heads. Lock, chop and barrel.
Stop, dear.
What?
Lock, stock and barrel, dear.
Oh, yes, laugh. Make fun of me. I suppose, as usual, you find the whole thing amusing.
Well, I know in funnier situations.
Oh, come, it's such an awful shock.
You're not the only one who's been shocked, Gladys. I thought that at least you and Claude would be provided for. You know, I can't keep money. That's why I kept giving it to you. You told me you were saving.
I know.
Now, it appears you haven't got a bean. What have you done with it all?
Well, I had a system.
A what?
For betting, you know. On the dear little Gigi's.
You mean you've gambled all that money away?
Well, it really wasn't gambling. I mean, if only I had enough to go on long enough.
Seems to me you've gone on too long already.
Well, it was all a question of doubling up.
With whom?
The bookmaker, of course. His name's Mr. McTavish. He's a charming man.
Oh, sure.
He'll be so upset when he finds that I've got no more money.
I'll bet he will. How much had the stake reached to date?
Just around 1,000.
Round where?
Round at the bookmaker's. And if I'd had enough to put on today, I'd have won £50,000. Just think of that.
Oh, I can't. Not for the odds, I haven't seen.
50 to 1. It's all
so simple. You just keep doubling up on the longest priced outsider.
Oh, no, it can't be true. Who gave you this wonderful system?
Mr. McTavish. Wasn't it nice of him?
Nice and profitable for him.
If only you trusted me, Lawrence. Told me about your trouble.
Well, that would have meant that two of us would have been worried to death.
Two heads are better than one. That's what Mother always says.
Well, she should know. She's got them.
Lawrence! It's not myself I'm so worried about. It's Claude. Our little boy. Our only son.
Thank heaven.
What about his education?
Well, there are a number of good reformatories.
How can you be so utterly callous about an innocent baby?
He's 13 and as innocent as a burglar with his hand in the cash box. Compared to Claude, Caligula was a beginner.
Caligula? Who's Caligula, if I may ask?
He was a Roman emperor who, at the tender age of 6, murdered his father.
That doesn't even begin to be funny.
That's what his father thought.
I wonder what you'd say if I talked about Julia that way.
Well, you couldn't. Julia's as sweet as Claude's poisonous.
She's at an age where she can look after herself. But what about Claude and me?
Oh, I don't know, dear. I thought I did, but it's all so hopeless.
Thank heavens for Mother. I've sent for her. She'll be here any moment now.
Well, when she is, I won't be.
Oh, no. No, you don't, Lawrence. Mother will want to talk to you.
But I don't want to talk to Mother. I'd rather face a maddened panther who's been on a 4-month diet.
Mother's the only one who can help us.
One might as well expect mercy from a boa constrictor. Oh!
Oh, I'd better go and... Claude, what was that noise of all those cries?
Oh, it's nothing to worry about. Those stupid bailiffs have blown themselves up in the hall.
Monster, what have you done
now? Well, you can't blame me, Father. I warned those silly fellows to take care. I was conducting an interesting experiment with my chemistry apparatus, and any undue movement in the early stages was almost bound to result in a little accident.
Little accident? Oh, that means they've been half killed, I suppose.
Yeah, unfortunately, no, but nicely singed, I expect. I hope it teaches them a lesson.
Yes, Lawrence.
Oh, all that smoke. What is the meaning of all this?
Oh, Granny, what a pity you weren't here a minute ago. You'd have been in time for the explosion.
Perhaps someone will explain exactly what is going on.
I told you, Mother, on the phone. We're being sold up. They take nearly all the furniture. Father's ruined us, and Mummy and I are destitute. Isn't it awful, Granny?
Don't worry, Kittykins. Granny will look after you. Thank heaven your future's assured. Granny's left you all her pennies in her will.
How old are you, Granny?
What?
Very foolish to mention your will.
Oh, I only ask Granny that because I hope she'll live for a long, long time. You have got enough to mind, Father.
I'm afraid the child's right.
No, I wouldn't like to be in your shoes. At least there's some security in being broke when that sweet innocence around.
Shall we dispense with facetious remarks and come to unpleasant facts? How have you arrived at this appalling state of affairs? What have you done with your money?
Well, my exports didn't balance my imports, or was it the other way around? Anyway, government officials pounced and closed my business. The bank manager closed my account, and now the tax authorities are closing my house. Shortly, I shall close my eyes and say farewell to you all.
Lawrence, you mustn't say such things, even as a joke.
It might be a happy release.
Mother!
Lawrence, you must be as crooked as they make them.
Mother, how can you say such a thing?
It's true. He knew all this was happening before you came to stay with me, and yet he deliberately kept us in the dark. If that isn't crooked, I don't know what is.
The trouble with me is I've been far too honest. I tried to pay my way and keep the right side of the law.
I expect that's only because you haven't got the brains to do the other.
Oh, yes, he has. If he tried. Haven't you, darling?
Gladys, what are you saying? Would you like to have a criminal for a husband?
I might. If he were a successful one.
What?
But then he wouldn't be a criminal if he wasn't found out.
Oh, really? You women never cease to amaze me. I think that... fundamentally, you're all dishonest.
Realistic is a better word.
You have the nerve to call me a crook.
Oh, Mother doesn't really mean it. She always says you're more of a fool than anything else.
Oh, thank you.
Well, look at your family. There was your father. He was non-compos mentis, to say the very least. And you can't deny that your brother Jack drank himself to death.
And what about your other brother? Poor dear Harry. He suddenly threw off to Venice. Was it Venezuela? He's never been heard of since.
Right now, I wish I was with him.
Father?
Oh, what is it now, Claude?
Father, there's a man at the door who says he wants to see you on private business.
A man?
Lawrence, perhaps it's a policeman. About
that explosion.
Oh, they can't arrest me, can they, Granny?
Of course not, darling.
After all, Claude dear, it was an accident, wasn't it? Or was it?
Whose side are you on?
Lawrence, dear, you must explain. Come on, Mother.
Claude, we'll go out this way to the kitchen.
Me, always me. Oh, well. Come in, sir.
Thank you.
Come in and make yourself at home. We used to.
You won't mind if I close the door.
I suppose the police are as susceptible to drafts as the more civilized members of the community.
So you were expecting the law, then?
Well, yes, in a way. I expect you've come about my son.
No. I've come about you.
Me? Oh, don't tell me I'm going to be arrested on top of everything else.
That's entirely up to you.
Oh, well, thanks very much, but I decline. Oh, look here. What is all this about?
Forgery. Have you ever seen this £5 note before?
Where did you get that?
Aha! You recognize it. Good.
Oh, no, look, officer, I only did that as a joke. I never intended to use it. Oh, if I had, would I have copied it in watercolor? No, I'd have gone the whole hog and engraved it.
Oh, so you're an engraver, too. Well, well, well. That just about fixes it.
All right, I'll come quietly.
Lawrence, I couldn't wait out there in suspense any longer. Oh, Mr. McTavish. I had no idea. I rather thought it was the police.
Aye, and so did your husband, Mrs. Hayden.
McTavish, is it a bookmaker, McTavish?
Of course, Lawrence. Mr. McTavish, why are you here? I don't owe you anything, do I?
No, Mrs. Hayden. You cleared the balance yesterday with this fiver.
So that's how you got it, from my wife.
I found a £5 note in your old paint box, Lawrence. I had to pay Mr. McTavish, but then why has he come here?
Well, I heard of your predicament, ma'am, and I dropped in to make your husband a little business proposition that might solve everything.
Oh, how perfectly splendid of you, Mr. McTavish. I feel quite safe now.
Yeah, well, it's not settled yet. It all depends on your husband.
Oh, I'm sure he'll agree to anything. He's in no position not to, is he?
No, I don't think he is.
Oh, I must go and tell Mother the good news.
What good news, Gladys?
About you and Mr. McTavish's business proposition.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say anything about that just at present, Mrs. Hayden. Just tell her that there's an old friend who may be able to see a way out.
All right, Mr. McTavish. Anything you say.
No, Mr. Hayden. Let's get to business. It's a very simple matter from what I can see. All you've got to do is make a plate. And then we've got to get the right paper. Yeah, I can manage that. Yeah, then there's distribution. Yeah, that's where most of them fall down. They try to pass it in this country, and that's fatal in the long run. But I can get rid of it abroad.
Are you suggesting that we go into business forging fibers?
What else, man? This is a first-rate piece of work, and there's not a flaw in it. Working together, we can make enough money in 6 months to retire with. Make enough money. Hey, not bad, there,
No, not bad. It's criminal. Look, that fiber, it was just a silly experiment.
Ah, the kind of experiment that gets a man behind bars. Then I'm sure you've no ambition in that direction.
Well, of course not.
Then we're in business.
No, it's no good. I couldn't bring myself to being willfully dishonest. Besides, I'd be found out.
You've already been found out by me. And I'm giving you this chance.
A chance to put a rope round the neck.
You've nearly got one there already, haven't you? All this trouble you're in. Who's your principal creditor?
The Inland Revenue.
What? The income tax. Well, would you believe it? The biggest firm of swindlers in the country. And you hesitated? Forgery.
Hey, it's not as funny as all that. Don't you pay tax?
The question doesn't arise. I never owe it. Neither will you if you do as I suggest.
I wouldn't.
Not a penny.
Well, I must say that's a great temptation.
Then be tempted and enjoy it.
No, I can't do it.
All right. I'll be off around the corner to the police.
The police? What good will that do you?
Well, for one thing, it'll help bolster my reputation as an honest citizen. And Lord knows that could do with a bit of bolstering. And for another thing, I cannot abide fools. They're not only a menace to themselves, but to the rest of us who aren't.
No, do what you like. I'm ruined anyway.
Aye, but it's one thing to be ruined outside a cell. It's another to be inside. Think of it, Mr. Hayden.
The cold, gray walls.
No. Oh, no. I couldn't face that. I give in, McTavish. You win.
Good laddie. You mark my words, Lawrence. This is the turning point in your career.
The wrong turning.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Now, first thing, I'll fix up your tax troubles. I have a solicitor friend who'll arrange a stay of execution. And by then, you'll be able to settle up with the swindlers. And then I know just where to lay my hands on a very nice, wee press. We'll be able to go into production as soon as you get the plate made.
But, McTavish, how would I be able to account for this sudden access of wealth?
Oh, that's too easy. I'm a bookmaker, aren't I? You're a gambler, do you see? Except you'll be the one gambler who's always on the winner.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
I had. Now, you'll probably be needing a few pounds to be going on with. Here, there's a couple of hundred.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, now, shake hands, partner.
Oh, partner in crime.
And we'll be making crime pay by the packet.
Well, Mac,
how about a drink?
No, thanks. I've got to keep my wits about me. Our first big deal, laddie. Nothing must go wrong.
Nothing will. The house is ours again, the furniture's back, and this little bag contains £50,000 in spanking brand new fibre.
Hey, keep their voice down.
Why? No one can hear us here in the study. What's the matter, Mac? You nervous?
Well, it's something to be nervous about, isn't it? Well, what's so funny?
Oh, I was just thinking. A month ago, when you came here for the first time, you were the confident one and I was the frightened one. Now it's the other way around.
Yeah, there's such a thing as being overconfident.
Oh, rubbish. You know, these last weeks I've begun to realize how much I've missed in life by being respectable.
Hey, now, what's the time? Ooh, I've got to leave in exactly 4 minutes.
You don't anticipate any real hitch?
I hope not. But I'll be carrying 50,000 quid in counterfeit. That's enough to make any man nervous.
Let's go over the details. You leave here by taxi for Victoria City. You deposit the bag in the left luggage office and wait till your contact turns up.
Aye.
You pretend not to recognize each other. But at an appropriate moment, you exchange the cloakroom ticket for a packet of foreign currency. He collects the bag, and then it's his headache getting it through to Pax. Right?
Aye. And if there's any last-minute hold-up, the whole operation is postponed until the same time tomorrow night.
Quite. But in any case, you collect your deposit.
Of course.
And then I never see you again.
What are you talking about? Of course you'll see me. Do you think I double-cross you?
Without a second thought, if it suited you.
Now, look here, Lord.
That's why I want my share of that deposit before you take this bag. And of £1,000 now, if you please.
Yes. Are you crazy? Do you think I carry that sort of money around with me?
Yes. And if you want this bag, you'll give me the 1,000.
Oh, look at the time. I've got to be on my way.
Not before I get what I'm asking. Come on. Hand it over.
Oh. All right, then. Here you are. But it's a fine start to our partnership. Disgusting me.
The best possible start for our sort of partnership. Right, here's the bag. Don't make any mistakes, now. I haven't.
No. You're a blessed marvel.
Yes, aren't I? In the past, I've suffered from all the anxieties of being an honest man. Now that I've taken to crime, I haven't got a worry in the world. I've found the golden key that opens all doors and stifles all criticisms. I'm no longer frightened of the taxman, the tradesman, the boss, or the bank manager.
That only leaves you one thing to be frightened of. The worst of the lot. The police.
Oh, my dear fellow. What on earth would bring a policeman to this house? Oh, now, get on your way. I'll come and see you, Ike. I'll just lock this door. Wouldn't do to have anyone poking around in the study, eh? Even though, as far as my family is concerned, it's book plates I print in there for a hobby.
Well, let's hope they never ask to see any samples of your work.
Well, I've printed quite a number, to be on the safe side. As a result, no one would dream of identifying the sound of the printing press with making money.
Well, I'll be going. Hey, don't come to the front door. It's best if we're not seen together too much.
All right. Good luck, Mac.
I'm hoping I won't need it. Oh, Excuse me, young lady. I'm just on the way out.
And I'm on my way in. Daddy, darling.
Julia.
Oh, Daddy, it's so lovely to see you again.
Julia, darling, what on earth are you doing here? I thought you were on tour, miles away.
Yes, I was, but, now I'm home. Daddy, prepare yourself for a shock.
A shock?
I'll keep it brief, darling. I'm out of work, broke, and engaged to be married. In that order.
Engaged to be married? Well, Julia...
Now, don't be angry, darling. There just wasn't time to ask you about it. It all happened so suddenly. Oh, but I know you just adore Andrew as much as I do. Andy, come on in.
You've brought him with you?
Yes, of course.
Julia?
Come on, Andy. Don't be shy, darling. This is Father. Daddy, this is Andrew Grant, my fiancé.
How do you do, sir?
Well, I'm not quite sure. Trifle stunned by the impact,
I've told Andy such a lot about you, Daddy. How clever you are with your painting and engraving. And don't worry. You're not going to lose me for a while, anyway. Not unless you decide to give us lots and lots of money. Because Andrew's just starting, and... Well, until he gets some promotion, we can't afford to get married. Can we, Andy?
No. No, I'm afraid not.
What sort of promotion can he expect? I mean, what does he do? He's not an actor, I hope.
Oh, good heavens, no. Oh, Daddy, you'll be so surprised when you know. Andy's a policeman.
And so the curtain falls on Act One of tonight's Caltex play, There Was a Crooked Man. In a moment, we commence Act Two. The Caltex Theatre now presents James Condon in There Was a Crooked Man, Act Two.
Gladys. Oh, Gladys, what's the matter? Why are you sniffling? Or is it snuffling?
Oh, Lawrence. Our little girl.
Julia?
To think of it. Engaged.
Well, she's over 21, Gladys.
Weren't you surprised, Lawrence, when she burst into the house and announced she was going to marry a policeman?
Surprised isn't quite the word, my dear.
Mother was simply flabbergasted.
No, you told her.
I rang her up. She's coming for the weekend.
Oh, that's a shame.
What did you say, Lawrence?
No, I said fine. It's time she came.
Lawrence! Have you changed your mind about Mother at last?
Oh, well, let's hope she changes her mind about me. And I think she might when you show her some of this.
Lawrence! All that money?
Every note of it. Here, my dear. I'll give you your share.
I can't believe it. Thank God of no.
Now then, hold out your hand. One, two, three, four, five, that's 50.
Oh.
And another five. That's 100.
What's all this?
Oh, Julia. Andy, come on in. Daddy seems to be giving money away.
Yes, he is. 200. 300.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, I haven't finished yet. 4, 5. There you are. That is £500 for you.
500 pounds?
And Julia, here's 100 for you as a start towards what you need to get married on.
Oh, Daddy, that's wonderful of you. Andy, look.
I'm looking.
Where on earth did you get all this money?
I made him.
Made
him? Yeah, I mean, I won it with the help of our good friend, Mr. McTavish.
Was that McTavish who left the house when Julia and I arrived earlier today, sir?
That's him.
Lawrence, do you mean you've been betting?
Yes, Gladys. And I'm glad to say that my system, unlike yours, really works.
I can't believe it. £500, and only a few weeks ago, we were being thrown out of house and home by those terrible tax people. Oh, it doesn't seem real.
Well, it's real, all right, Gladys. 100% real.
You wouldn't care to let me in on this system of yours, would you, sir?
Oh, I'm afraid not. I don't think it's the kind of system a policeman would approve of.
Oh? And why not, sir?
A police officer's not allowed to gamble, is he? I mean, it wouldn't look good, would it? Well, I don't suppose you two will mind being left alone.
I need a little rest. I've been working rather hard.
All right, Betty, darling. And thank you. Andy, isn't he marvelous? Giving us £100. Just like that.
Yes. Just like that. And from what your mother said, this is rather a sudden turn in your father's fortune.
Yes, it is. I've never known Daddy to gamble before.
Really?
Well, look at him yourself, darling. Would you say he's a gambling guy?
No, I wouldn't. Julia, I don't feel too happy about it.
What do you mean?
Well, I wouldn't trust that McTavish chap further than I could see him.
Any special reason?
Well, let's just say that I don't like the look of him.
You're talking a bit like a detective, aren't you?
Well, I am a detective.
Yes. And I'm beginning to understand why they're not exactly sought after socially. It's not the most comfortable feeling to be viewed as a potential crook.
Oh, now, look here, Julia. I'm only worried about your father.
Perhaps you think he's a crook, too.
I didn't say
but
that.
But you're thinking that, I can tell. Just because you get it into your head that there's something wrong with McTavish, probably just the shape of his face or his Scots accent,
Now, Julia, stop it. Good Lord, in a minute you'll have me arresting your father and dragging him off to Wormwood Scrubs.
I wouldn't put it past you.
Oh, come here, you silly little fool. Getting all worked up over nothing. Come here.
What for?
Oh, stand to reason.
Darling, our first quarrel. It's all over.
Mm-hmm. And the ending was the best part of it.
And let's end it again.
What? Well, that's devil.
That's his second name. Claude, what are you doing behind those curtains?
Of course, himself a detective. I don't think.
You know, Claude, it's not considered the thing to do, hiding behind curtains and spying on people.
Don't you touch me! Mummy! Mummy! Claude!
What's the matter, darling? What are you shouting for?
He's going to hit me, Mummy.
Hit you? So he should. The little beast was behind the curtains, spying on us.
Oh, Mummy, you know I'd never do a thing like that.
Of course not, darling.
But I heard him say that Daddy was a crook. Your father...
Oh, rubbish. You haven't got the brains. He's so careless. Why, he leaves things lying all over the place. I found a £5 note in his paint box not so long ago.
In his paint box?
Yes. I'm afraid I was rather naughty. I took it without telling him. But after all, he'd never remember.
It's such a silly place to put money. Come along, Claude, darling.
Your hair needs combing, and you must look nice because Granny's coming for the weekend.
All right, Mummy.
And Julia, I want you to fix up Mr. Andrews' room.
Mother, it's not Mr. Andrews. It's either Mr. Grant or Andrew.
Well, one of them has to have his room fixed up, and I want you to do it.
All right, Mother. I'll see you later, Andy.
Yes, dear.
Oh, hello, Father. You had you late?
As much of it as I could, dear. Well, I left you all alone, eh, Andy?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll keep you company for a bit. Oh, thanks. As a matter of fact, sir, I'm glad to have a few minutes with you. There's something I should like to ask you.
Several things I'm simply dying to ask you.
Well, fire away, sir. I'm ready. In the first place, what made you join the police force?
Well, I thought it would be rather exciting.
Is that all?
No, there is another reason. You see, I came to the conclusion that if I didn't join with the law, I might find myself against it.
I see what you mean.
My turn now, sir.
Oh, certainly, yes. What did you want to ask me?
Why are you mixed up with a man like McTavish?
Well, like you and the law. Necessity.
It's a pity, sir.
Is it? What's wrong with dear old Mac? All bookmakers aren't automatically villains.
This one is. He's got a record as long as my arm.
You amaze me.
All under various names, of course.
What are his supposed crimes?
Oh, various forms of fraud, including passing counterfeit money.
Good heavens. But, how does all this affect me, Andrew?
Well, don't you understand, sir? If McTavish should be caught at any of his old games again, his associates would naturally be suspect.
No? Oh, well, I've got nothing to hide.
All the same, I think you'd better be careful, sir. I happen to know that the Yard is keeping an eye on him.
Oh, well, thank you for the warning, my boy. I'll certainly bear it in mind.
Lawrence! Lawrence! Oh, there you are. Thank goodness.
Mac, what are you doing here?
Oh, you're not alone.
This is Mr. Grant of Scotland Yard.
Scotland Yard?
He's my daughter's fiancé.
Oh. Oh. Well. All ready for the ball and chain, eh?
That's right, Mr. McTavish. Are you?
Eh?
You gentlemen want to talk privately, I gather. I'll lead you through it.
Hey, anywhere to your mind, Lawrence. Letting a policeman at the house.
Well, if they will keep him out, since he's to be my son-in-law.
Oh, gosh, as if we've not got trouble enough.
What's the matter? What are you doing back here?
Something awful's happened.
Oh, we don't talk here. Let's go into the study.
Aye.
Now then,
hadn't you better shut the French windows too?
Huh? Oh, that's funny. Thought I had shut them when I was in here earlier.
Oh, well.
Now, come on. What's happened?
Disaster, man. Confusion and catastrophe. Ruin and tragedy.
Don't tell me you've lost the bag.
Once. I've lost the ticket.
What?
The cloakroom ticket. I put the bag in the luggage office as arranged, went to meet our contact as arranged, and then I couldn't find the cloakroom ticket.
Oh, no.
I searched everywhere, but it was no good. It was gone.
Well, didn't you try getting the bag back from the luggage office without the ticket? The attendant would have remembered you.
Of course I tried, but they gave me a form to fill up.
Well?
It said, describe contents. Well, I could hardly write £50,000 worth of dead notes, could I? Then I saw a copper coming along who knew me, and I hopped it.
Well, what did you do with the ticket? Think.
What do you imagine I'd been doing?
Go back over it all. You walked up to the luggage counter.
Aye.
You handed over the bag.
Mm.
The man gave you the ticket.
Mm.
And you put it in my hat. Now, Matt, this is serious.
So is what I'm saying. I remember now. That's it. I put it in my hat. I stuck it in my hat band for safety.
Well, where is it?
I put it on that table by the window.
Not there.
What? But it must be. I never had the hat off my head, so we came into this room.
Well, look for yourself. It's not there.
But that's impossible. I tell you...
Who's that? Well, how do I know, till I ask?
Who is it?
Daddy, it's me, Julia.
Oh, what do you want, dear?
Daddy, there's a policeman at the door. He's asking for you.
A policeman? I've been followed.
Why, you fool?
All right, darling. Ask him to wait a minute.
They've got to get out of here.
They're after us.
You've got to get out. Use the French window.
Well, what are you going
to
do?
Talk to the policeman, of course. Now, go on. Get cracky.
Well, Daddy, what was all that about?
Yes, what did the policeman want, Lawrence?
Oh, the blow has fallen. Oh, I should have expected it.
Expected what?
What happened, Lawrence?
Your little Claude is due for the reformatory at last, and probably me with him.
What?
That policeman presented me with this document. A summons for assault and willful damage, the result of that booby trap he set for the bailiffsmith. The explosion, remember?
But that was weeks ago.
The wheels of the law grind slowly, but they grind.
Don't really think they'll send our little darling to prison.
More likely it'll be me.
Oh, then it's not as bad after all.
Mother!
Julian? Go and find him for me, will you?
Yes, Daddy, of course.
This comes of not sending him to a proper school. If you hadn't found that absurd, so-called progressive school where they're all encouraged to do exactly as they like.
Well, you can't blame the school.
I'm going to blame somebody. Oh, if they decide to send him to Borstal, the only plea I can make is that it'll be unfair to the other delinquents.
Lawrence!
I'm going to frighten the light out of that young boy before he's many minutes older.
What young boy?
Oh, Mother, you're here!
And they tell you lightning never strikes twice.
What young boy are you talking about frightening the life out of?
My son.
Remember, she's my grandson. You won't lay a finger on him.
I'll lay all five in a bunch. He's going to get the hiding I've been promising him for years.
Lawrence, you mustn't touch him. I promise me.
But I've already promised him. First come, first served, Gladys.
Daddy, I can't find Claude. Andy says he's gone.
Gone? And who is Andy?
I am, ma'am.
Granny, this is Andrew Grant, my fiancé.
Oh, the policeman.
Oh, it doesn't matter what he is, Mother, if he knows where Claude is.
Well, I was in my room, and I saw him out of the window. He came running out of the French windows in the study.
The study?
Running! He was running away. Lawrence, you've given him away.
The poor pet was probably terrified. He must be found before he does something desperate.
Like robbing a bank?
Could be a child so highly strung.
He will be, one day.
I shall inform the police.
So Andy can do it.
Of course. He can be of some use.
Come on, darling. The phone's in the hall.
All right. I'll see what I can find out, Mr. Hayden.
I'll answer it, Daddy.
The river.
What are you talking about, Gladys?
My poor baby. That'll be the police telling me they found him in the river.
Don't be silly, dear. He's barely had time to get to the Chelsea bars.
Daddy. Daddy, it's a telegram. For you.
Telegram? Oh, show me.
Oh, it's bad news. I can feel it.
I don't believe it. Can't they?
Lawrence, what is it?
Give me a drink, quick.
Whiskey, Daddy?
No, water.
Water?
Oh, it must be something dreadful. Here you are, Daddy.
Well, come along, Lawrence. What are you trying to do? Kill us with suspense?
In your case, it might be a bad idea.
Oh, what is it, Lawrence? What is it?
My brother Harry's died in Venezuela.
Is that all? From what I've heard of him, he's probably better off.
I don't know about him, but it seems I am. About £500,000.
What are you saying?
Your brother, Harry C. Hayden, died in Venezuela. Stop. You are sole heir. Stop. Estate estimated £500,000 sterling. Stop.
Don't stop.
Signed Cosby, Haddock and Brill, Watergate, WC2.
Daddy, you're a half millionaire.
Lawrence, my dear, dear boy. Imagine my son-in-law, a millionaire. Oh, I'm so happy for you.
We're rich. Our children are rich. Our children... Claude!
Oh, I'd forgotten Claude.
The garage.
What?
Perhaps he's voted himself in the garage. He did that once before, but I wouldn't let him have his own way. I'm going to see.
I'll come with you. If he's upset, I can calm him down.
Well, I'm coming too. I've got to talk to you. You stay there, Julia.
All right, Daddy. Phew. £500,000. It's too good to be true.
Well, I'll make an inquiry, isn't it? Hello, where is everyone?
Oh, they've gone to the garage for Claude.
Oh, he's not there.
Well, how do you know?
Because after I'd rung the police station, I asked a couple of the neighbours. Well, they saw him getting into a taxi.
What can he be up to?
Well, I'm going to find out.
Andy, Daddy's come into a lot of money.
I know that. And I think I know what kind.
He's been lefted by my uncle in Venezuela.
What? You mean it's on the up and up?
Of course. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't think I'm very sure. This family of yours...
Andy, Daddy's fortune won't make any difference between... you and me, will it?
Well, why should it?
Well, some men are too proud to marry a girl with money when they've got none.
Not this one.
What? Good heavens. What else can that be?
It's the mechanic.
Now, come along now. Easy, lovely old chap.
Was Claude in the garage?
Does this look like Claude?
Yeah, it looks like a drunk. That's what it is. Now, you better leave me to look after him.
All right. Your son took a taxi, Mr. Hayden. From all I can gather, it seemed headed in the direction of Victoria Station.
Victoria Station?
Victoria Station? Oh!
He's passed out.
I'll look after him.
All right, sir. And I'd better look after Claude. I'll get down to Victoria.
And I'd better go and see how Mother is.
Mac. Mac.
Well, very convenient, McTavish, old chap. In your unconscious state, I don't think you would have any objection if I took a look through your pockets. But I'm sure you wouldn't have parted with it. Yes, I was right. My original forged fiver. Sorry, Mac, old man, but since I'm a millionaire, I can't have this hanging over my head any longer. That's it. Now, wake up, Mac. Come along. Wakey, wakey. Wake up.
What? My head.
Serve you right.
Lawrence, I remember everything.
Including the bottle of whiskey in my garage.
The bag, man. The bag.
Yes, I know. Young Grant's gone off to Victoria.
And he won't find it.
In law.
Don't worry about the thing, Father. Everything's under control.
Claude, where have you been?
To Victoria, of course, to collect the bag. I got the ticket out of McTavish's hatband when I was hiding behind the curtain in the study.
You took the ticket? Hiding behind the curtain?
Really, Dad? How did you ever come to associate with an ass like that? You a mastermind.
A what?
A mastermind. I'm afraid I've sadly misjudged you in the past. I hope you'll forgive me. You're super duper.
The bag. Where's the bag?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
Claude, you brought it home.
You bet I haven't. It's in a safe place. Gosh, Dad, if you'd only let me in at the beginning instead of him, there wouldn't have been these silly mistakes.
We've got to get the bag back, Lawrence.
I know that. But I don't think you'll help to do it. Since you seem to have sobered up a bit, I think the best thing you can do is get off home.
What? Oh, no.
You'll no get rid of me as easily as that. Yeah, don't forget I've still got a certain phony £5 note.
Not anymore. I got it back, my dear chap. And what lifted it is on the floor.
You tore it up.
Of course he did. What do you think he is, a dope?
That's enough, Lord. Now, be on your way, McTavish.
Oh, all right. I'm off away home. And the Lord preserve me from amateurs.
Now, Floyd, I need hardly tell you how important it is to get that bag back. Especially since I've only just discovered that I've come into a fortune legitimately.
I'm not just getting the bag back.
You're not?
Not unless I get something in return.
Such as?
Cash, lots of it.
What for?
To build a do-it-yourself H-bomb.
What?
I've got the formula all worked out, but I need uranium, and that's fearfully expensive.
But what? Why do you want to build an H-bomb?
To blow up that soppy school I go to.
Oh, you don't like it?
I hate it, and so do the other chaps. Fancy being at a school where you're expected to call the masters by their first names, and allowed to do exactly what you like when you like. There's no fun in that.
Isn't there?
Of course not, it's deadly.
You'd rather be at a normal school?
You bet I would. Somewhere with a bit of excitement about it, where you run the risk of a whacking if you're found out.
Oh, gee. Well, look here, Thorne. If I promise to take you away and send you to a place where there's any amount of whacking, fagging, bullying, and all the other accompaniments of a good old English public school, will that satisfy you?
And can I study to be an atom scientist afterwards?
Certainly. You have a decided bent for an explosive career.
It's a deal, Dad.
Right. Now, where's the bag?
I parked it in the left luggage opposite Waterloo Station, and I didn't lose the ticket seat.
This is becoming ludicrous.
Daddy!
Hmm?
Daddy!
In here, Julia.
Oh, Daddy, the evening paper's just come, and there's something shattering in it. Huh? Look, read that.
Hey. Revolution in Venezuela. Rebels take over. All private property seized. All invested money is the property of the state.
Dad, does that mean you've lost your fortune before you ever had it?
Business at a standstill. Banks closed. No money allowed out of the country.
Well, perhaps it's a mistake.
Not a mistake. Just leave me alone for a few moments. Julie, take your brother out. I want to be alone.
It's all right, Daddy. Oh, cheer up, Dad. There's always the other. You know. Shall I go to Waterloo and get it?
Daddy? What's he talking about?
You mind your own business, Julia.
Don't speak to me like that.
I'll speak to you any way I like.
No, you won't, my lad, or I'll start the public school treatment right now. Do what I say and leave me alone.
Yes, Daddy. Come on, you horrible little measle.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Revolution in Venezuela. Oh, well.
Mr. Hayden.
Hmm? Oh, Andy. Hello, my boy.
Look what I've got, sir.
A bag. A bag.
Yes, sir.
No use pretending any longer. How did you find it?
Well, it was too simple. Inquiries at Victoria Station disclosed that a boy answering Claude's description had claimed a bag from the left luggage office and taken a taxi to Waterloo. I did likewise. At Waterloo Station, at the left luggage office, I produced my card. They produced the bag. And the contents spoke for themselves.
50,000 of them. Giving their evidence in a firm, clear voice. All right. Lead on.
Where?
To the nearest cell, I suppose.
Well, you've got it wrong, sir. I'm not going to arrest you.
You're not?
Well, you see, I'm not on the force any longer.
What?
I've resigned. I sent off a letter before I went to Victoria Station.
But why did you do that?
Well, I lost my nerve. I suddenly realized I couldn't be responsible for a fellow man losing his freedom, no matter what his crime. In any case, I didn't have much choice, confronted with the prospect of having to arrest my future father-in-law. But, perhaps you won't want me to marry Julian now that I'm out of a job and haven't anything to offer.
On the contrary, you have a great deal more to offer than the average young man these days.
Well, I don't see how you make that out.
You have the ability to think for yourself. Oh, Lord, I've forgotten.
What, sir?
Summoned against Claude by the bailiffs. What on earth am I going to do about that?
Oh, well, I think you can leave that to me, sir. I might be able to persuade the gentleman to withdraw the charge.
Oh, this is ghastly. Ghastly!
I knew there had to be a mistake. Lawrence, a millionaire. Impossible.
Now, Granny, you stop that. Things are bad enough.
Gladys,
you know?
Claude and Julia have just told me. 1 minute we've got it, the next we haven't. Oh, let me look at the paper.
Certainly, my dear.
Oh, I wish we'd never heard of Venezuela.
What a stupid place to die. Of course, Lawrence has been foolish, as usual.
Oh, really, Granny, you can't blame poor Daddy for a revolution.
I certainly do. He should have kept in touch with your Uncle Harry while he had all that money and got him out of the place before it was too late.
Dad, the bag! Oh, you've got it! I say, that was quick work.
Oh, no, you don't, my lad. Andy, hang on to that bag or I will refuse to let you into the family.
Say, Lawrence, your clever Gladys has done it. I knew I shouldn't. You said I couldn't, but I have.
Lawrence, you've driven her out of her mind at last.
Take it easy now, Gladys. Tell me what's happened.
I meant to phone up and find out, but what with everything, I've forgotten now.
Find out about what?
About Sitting Bull in the 4 o'clock.
Gladys, have you been betting with McTavish again?
No, this time I put it on with a big firm in Piccadilly, and it's won, look.
Sitting Bull. Rank outsider. Romps home by 20 lengths.
I felt I just had to have one last fling.
And how much did you fling?
The money you gave me, of course.
All of it?
Of course. I have a lot to get back.
Gladys, you mean you put on £500?
Yes.
Part of the money that you won from McTavish, sir?
Exactly.
Look at the price. Starting price, 100 to 1. But, Dad, that means she's made...
Made? No, no. Not that word. Won. £50,000. Oh, it's a recurring figure, which all goes to prove that it's better to be poor than honest.
And that proves you should never look a Sitting Bull in the mouth.
So ends our Caltex play, There Was a Crooked Man. In a moment, we will give you tonight's cast and tell you about next week's presentation in the Caltex Theater. Ladies and gentlemen, the producer of tonight's Caltex play, E. Mason Wood.
Thank you. There Was a Crooked Man was written by Bruce Walker and adapted for radio by Morris Travers. In the starring role you heard...
I played Lawrence Hayden.
This was James Condon. Our supporting cast was as follows. Gladys Hayden, Queenie Ashton. Amy, Winifred Green. Julia, Lola Brooks. Claude, Ray Hartley. Andrew Grant, Richard Meikle. McTavish, Gordon Benwright.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. Next week in the Caltex Theater, you will hear a radio adaptation of the tense MGM drama, Jeopardy, which starred Barbara Stanwyck, Barry Sullivan, and Ralph Meeker. Jeopardy is the story of Helen Stillwyn, a happily married American woman who set off with her husband and a small son for a wonderful holiday in Mexico, only to find that a trivial accident could turn a dreamed-of holiday into a nightmare, leading her to make the most difficult decision of her life. Be listening next week for this suspense-packed drama, Jeopardy. And remember, coming presentations include The Third Husband and Thunder on Sycamore Street, further outstanding productions in the Caltex Theatre. Now, this is your compere, Rick Hutton, bidding you good night. On behalf of your hosts, Caltex Oil, marketers of Caltex Super Gasoline and Caltex Gasoline, the world-famous RPM 1030 Special Motor Oil, and Marfac Lubrication.